You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Tuesday, July 2nd, it is day two of the California Classic, day three of NBA free agency, and it's time for another episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and offseason long. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the California Classic, Summer League in Las Vegas, the free agency period, training camp, and the tip-off of the 2019-2020 NBA season, this is the place for you, all centered around your Sacramento Kings. And last night, the Kings were inside the Golden 1 Center, back for 3 days as they are hosting the second annual California Classic. And last night they took on the Golden State Warriors, successful in day one of the Classic, just like they were last year, except last year it was against the Los Angeles Lakers. This year it's against the other Western rival, Warriors. Some goods, some bads, a lot of fun last night inside the G1C, including a post-game concert that filled up the entire downtown Commons, which many are starting to call King's Landing, as T-Pain did a live performance. There were thousands of people out there. It was just a great time on a Monday night. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and a reporter, and I had the privilege of meeting a handful of you at the California Classic last night. It was such a privilege to all of those who took the time to reach out to me, let me know you were there. I had a blast speaking with you, even if it was only for a couple of minutes during halftime or before one of the games or during a timeout. I really appreciate everybody who took the time to seek me out and want to speak with me in person, just as much as I appreciate all of you who take the time to listen here to the Locked On Kings podcast, whether you are new or you are a frequent listener. I appreciate you all the same, so thank you so much for being a part of Locked On Kings here today and every day, and thank you also for being a part of this Sacramento Kings fan base. We have a lot to talk about on today's show. Of course, we're going to break down and discuss the Kings' win over the Warriors last night in detail, but the Kings made another signing yesterday morning or early afternoon. I was actually napping at the time, so I wasn't right on top of it, but a signing I really like, we'll talk about here in just a little bit. Also, want to discuss Kawhi Leonard very briefly at the end of the podcast as well, because there's this scenario where it might take you and many Kings fans, it might be hard for them to accept, but maybe one of the best case scenarios for this Kawhi Leonard thing wrapping up and where Kawhi Leonard goes would be the Los Angeles Lakers. I'll explain why more at the end of the podcast. But right now, let's jump into this signing that the Kings made yesterday. We know they made 4 signings in the first really 12 hours of free agency. That was Harrison Barnes, Dwayne Dedmon, Trevor Ariza, and Corey Joseph. I talked about all 4 of those guys in detail and in length yesterday. Fantastic numbers on that podcast, but in case you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to that podcast if you have time today so you can hear my full opinions and breakdowns of all 4 of those players. But I said also in yesterday's podcast that I didn't think the Kings were done, that they had one more move to make, and that was to bring in another big man to add some more front court depth and ultimately really wrap up their free agency period. Now, there's still plenty of time of free agency left, and it's a very stark difference this year to last year with what the Kings have been doing, right? Because last year, the Kings took weeks before they made really any noise in free agency when they made a very late offer to Zach LaVine that was matched by the Chicago Bulls. This year, very different story. The Kings active right out of the gate, like I mentioned. 4 signings in the first 12 hours, 5 signings in total. As yesterday, they signed center Rashawn Holmes to a 2-year, $10 million deal. Now, again, this fits the mold of the Sacramento Kings and their free agency signees. Not a sexy name by any means, but let me tell you a little bit about Rashawn Holmes. First off, he's 25 years old. He's a 6'10" center, also can play power forward. If you liked Montrezl Harrell and saw what Montrezl Harrell did against the Sacramento Kings last year, just a guy that plays with a lot of hustle and energy and grit, then you're going to love Rashawn Holmes. Holmes plays with a fire, an energy, and electricity. He is very efficient statistically, and he's someone that doesn't need a lot of minutes to be effective. He averaged 8.2 points, 4.7 rebounds, and 1.1 blocks in only 16.9 minutes per game for the Phoenix Suns last season. He was really the main backup for DeAndre Ayton. And Holmes, in one game in particular in Phoenix, absolutely demolished the Kings. I think if you recognize Holmes' name, it'll probably be because of that game, the performance that he had against Sacramento. And Holmes is one of those guys, those hustle energy guys, especially at the center position, that just abused the Kings last year. And a lot of it was because the Kings didn't really have front court energy to match it. We were hoping for some from Willie Cauley-Stein and his colleagues, but we just did not get that last year. The Kings recognized the value of Holmes and brought him in on an excellent deal. Again, 2 years, $10 million. And you've actually heard Holmes being discussed a lot here on the Locked On Kings podcast, especially in the episode where I had Aaron Brewski of Hoopball, formerly of NBC Sports, covered the Sacramento Kings for many, many years. He loves Rashawn Holmes, and he thought Rashawn Holmes was an absolute perfect fit for the Sacramento Kings. Clearly, the Kings agreed with him. So here's the reality of what Holmes is going to bring and really what he's going to do. He's not going to be playing in front of Dedmon. He's not going to be playing in front of Harry Giles, barring injury. He won't be playing in front of Marvin Bagley. He might, depending upon Nemanja Bjelica's situation, get more minutes than Bjelica, also depending upon matchups. But when the Kings need a spark, when the Kings need defense, when they need rim protection, when they need rebounding, when they just need hustle and energy, you're going to be able to call Rashawn Holmes' number. He'll come in off the bench, and whether you're giving him 5 minutes or whether you're giving him 15, he's going to give you the same amount of effort. And that's extremely exciting. It's a great asset for the Kings to have. We know Vlade and the front office are very excited to bring him in. I'm sure Luke Walton and the Kings coaching staff are going to love having his number off of the bench to be called to bring that spark whenever they need it. I really enjoy this signing. And with this signing, the Kings free agency is essentially done. Now, I haven't heard anything to make that definitive. Of course, some trades could be made and then the Kings make some other moves. But as of right now, in terms of cap space, they're pretty much capped out. So basically, how the roster is right now with a rotation, if you're looking at the point guard position, of De'Aaron Fox, Corey Joseph at the shooting guard spot, you have Buddy Hield, Bogdan Bogdanovic, and I expect Yogi Ferrell to stick around. I have nothing definitive to say that it will happen or not, but I expect Yogi Ferrell, they will keep him around and guarantee his contract next season. They have until, I think, early October in order to do that. I don't think Frank Mason will stick around, and I'll have more information on him a little bit later in the next segment of this podcast here today, but I expect Yogi Ferrell to stick around and play at that shooting guard rotation, although he is behind both Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovic. Obviously, at the small forward spot, you have Harrison Barnes, Trevor Ariza. At the power forward position, you have Marvin Bagley, Nemanja Bjelica, and maybe Holmes, and then at the center position, you have Dwayne Dedmon, Harry Giles, and maybe Holmes. So there also are a couple other roster spots depending upon two-way contracts, what the Kings want to do with that. I'm not going to go out on a limb and really predict those at this moment. Maybe one of the three second-round pick rookies make the roster as well. So that part is still up in the air. But for the most part, your rotation, your 10-man rotation for sure, has been established. And Holmes as an 11th man to be mixed in whenever needed is definitely a plus and a positive to have. I've seen many people on Twitter and on social media saying that they think this is the deepest the Sacramento Kings have ever been, and I tend to agree with them. Vlade has done really, really well to add a lot of depth and surround his core with these guys. And the reality is, and I know I talked about this a little bit yesterday, but just to reiterate it, if the Kings were going to make strides and leaps and bounds this season like they did last season, it's going to take the big three, the young three, the stars that are already on this roster to get that job done. Vlade Divac was not going to make a move in free agency and bring in someone that was going to replace or take opportunity away from the big three that he already has here. Now, the big three still has a lot of growth. De'Aaron Fox, we expect to be an all-star. Will this be the year he makes it to that all-star level? Can Buddy Hield continue to consistently be one of the best shooters in the NBA and continue to develop on the defensive end of the floor and also just creating his own shot and potentially getting to the basket? And Marvin Bagley, entering his second year, will probably now be a full-time starter. How will he perform with those major minutes and that major role? So there's still a lot of growth, and there's an element of risk to what Vlade Divac is doing, but overall, his plan has always been centered around those guys and that young core. So bringing in pieces like he has this summer that fit in alongside them well and also fit the plan of what the Kings want to do, which is run in transition, shoot a lot of threes, and play good defense, You can't ask for much more than what Vlade Divac has done here in this offseason. Before we take a quick break and move on and discuss game one of the California Classic for the Kings last night, this story came up while I was at the Classic, while I was at the game, and I tweeted it out briefly, but I didn't get to spend much time really discussing it. But it's really a sad story and something I wanted to put and bring attention to. Adrian Wojnarowski, who is, of course, the legendary reporter, formerly of Yahoo, now currently with ESPN. He is the guy that's been breaking all of the stories. He and Shams are really going at it, as they do every year with all these free agency signings. He was on SportsCenter, and he was discussing current still big-name free agents on the market. The biggest name is Kawhi Leonard, which, again, we're going to discuss in just a little bit here. But another name that used to be a really big name that still is a big name, but he's clearly not the same player that he was, is DeMarcus Cousins. And unfortunately, Woj had some pretty bold and negative things to say about DeMarcus. Not about DeMarcus personally, but here's what Woj had to say. Woj said, quote, "There's not a market for DeMarcus Cousins. He hoped big market teams would strike out. I don't know even if the mid-level exception that he got last year with the Warriors is even there." DeMarcus Cousins, when he was with the Sacramento Kings, we were talking about the best center in the NBA. He was prepared to make a boatload of money if the Kings had signed him to the Supermax, but the Kings elected not to. He got hurt in New Orleans, then elected to take a one-year contract with the Warriors last year to try and rehab, get back to his old self, and then potentially get paid this summer. Well, and with all extensive purposes and everything being said, last season was a failure for DeMarcus Cousins, not because he didn't win a ring and not because the Golden State Warriors didn't win the championship, because DeMarcus Cousins took all that time off. He didn't play until past the midway point of last season, and he got hurt again almost immediately. And then we saw on the playoff or in the finals and in the playoffs, he was just a shell of his former self. And it's just so sad and so disappointing because he's such a talented player, an incredible guy off the floor. We know he has his issues on the floor. I've had my issues with him. Everybody, or a lot of people here in Sacramento, have had their issues with DeMarcus Cousins. But he's an incredible guy that deserves so much more than what is happening to him right now. I really hope he gets an opportunity in a contract elsewhere, and this is the year that he's able to turn it around and get back to himself so that he will get the money that he deserves on the open market somewhere very, very soon. But what's happening with DeMarcus, what's happening with Kevin Durant, what's happening with Klay Thompson, what happened with Isaiah Thomas, this is, I think, changing how players are looking at free agency. I think a lot more players are going to start doing what Al Horford did, are going to start doing what Harrison Barnes did, and that's turning down pretty massive player options for 1 year and paydays for 1 year in order to take a longer-term contract with more security, even if it's less money per year. I think it makes a lot more sense, and players are watching stars drop like flies and lose money because of it. So I think, honestly, we're getting to the point where free agents and NBA players in general are going to start valuing the length of a contract, the amount of years on a contract, more than the numbers next to a dollar sign. So I'm hoping for the best for DeMarcus Cousins. I hope he gets an opportunity out there. He could potentially be a great fit with the Lakers, could potentially return to the Warriors, although I don't see that happening. We've also heard rumors of him potentially being a fit for the New York Knicks. He needs to land on a roster somewhere. I really hope that he does, and he's able to get back to a fraction of his former self, because as much as he had his issues in Sacramento with his attitude and who he was at times, and the Kings never really won that much with him here, there were moments of just pure excellence, greatness, and superb play that we saw out of him that I hope sincerely that he will get back to. Last night, the Sacramento Kings opened up the California Classic with a win over the Golden State Warriors, 81-77. It was actually technically Game 2 of the Classic because the Miami Heat took on the Los Angeles Lakers in Game 1, and the Heat absolutely stomped the Lakers. Decent crowd out there for that game as well, which I was very pleased to see. Overall, a great night inside the Golden 1 Center. A lot of people out there enjoying basketball in July. Of course, I mentioned the post-game concert as well with T-Pain. So it was just a great event overall. I'm expecting another fun night, day 2 or night 2 here tonight of the California Classic. And another concert is going on. I honestly can't remember who's performing off the top of my head, and I apologize about that. But some fans were a little disappointed as we found out a few hours before game time that both Marvin Bagley and Frank Mason, the only two returners or main roster players for this Kings team, were not going to be playing due to soreness. Marvin Bagley had a sore Achilles. Frank Mason had a sore hip. Both of them are currently listed as day-to-day, both of them we know want to play. They are expected, hopefully, to get into one game during the Classic. My hunch is that Marvin Bagley won't play until the third and final game of the California Classic, although I don't have more than just speculation to really support that. What I do know is that Marvin Bagley is pushing to play now, and he was pushing to play last night, just did not get the opportunity to do so. There's not much to worry about in terms of his sore Achilles. I was told he did not practice on Saturday, but did take place in actively took part in practice on Sunday and has been still working with the team, was involved in shoot around and stuff like that before Monday night's game. So he is still working, and he's able to obviously put weight on his Achilles. He's moving okay. There's nothing concerning really about the sore Achilles. The Kings just erring on the side of caution, and trust me, Marvin Bagley wants to play. If he had his way, he'd be playing tonight and tomorrow night for you inside the Golden 1 Center, although my hunch personally is that he won't be playing, if at all, he won't be playing until Game 3 against the Lakers on Wednesday. As for Frank Mason, I don't know how he can feel comfortable not playing in any of these games. And I know he's going to be also playing in Summer League in Las Vegas, but he's playing for his contract right now, and the Kings have until around October 17th to either waive him or keep him around before the money of his contract is guaranteed. And right now there's a cap hold on him, so technically they could bring him back and keep his money on the books, and it wouldn't take them any further over the cap than they are currently right now. But Frank Mason really fell out of the rotation last year, and now with the signing of Corey Joseph, with the fact that you can play Bogey as a primary ball handler, Yogi Ferrell is capable of playing the one or the two. You also have some rookies like Kyle Guy that are trying to make their way into the rotation, into the lineup as well. Frank Mason really has to hold his own and try and defend his spot. So I'd imagine Frank Mason is chomping at the bit to get out there to play and prove that he is one of the best, if not the best player on the floor in Summer League, because he is a quote-unquote NBA veteran in the sense that he spent a couple years in the NBA playing with the main roster, and that should give you a distinct advantage against some of the young guys and journeymen that typically play in Summer League. But yesterday, Kings beat the Golden State Warriors 81-77. Wenyen Gabriel, who was a two-way contract last year, spent all of last season with the Stockton Kings. He played fantastic, and he really made the most of his opportunity, and I wanted to highlight him a little bit because he finished with 22 points, 12 rebounds, and 2 steals. 9 of his 12 rebounds were in the first half. Wenyen Gabriel was an absolute beast. Extremely efficient and in limited minutes played, especially in the first half, was active, hustled, hit a couple outside shots, a couple three-pointers, which was great to see. He's definitely been working on his game. He's cut weight in the sense that he looks a lot more agile and is able to move more quickly on his feet, because we did see him play in Summer League last year, and I did watch him play a couple games with the Stockton Kings. So he looks significantly better, although he is still strong. He didn't just lose the weight and then become weaker. So he's able to bang with power forwards and even some centers. Speaking of centers, the real negative part for the Kings was Caleb Swanigan, who the Kings got in the trade with the, Portland Trailblazers last year, and when they sent Scalabissiere to Portland, and Caleb Swanigan just did not look good in this game, although he was being hacked and fouled a lot for being such a big guy. But Wenyen Gabriel absolutely shined. Kyle Guy, I thought, got off to a slow start, had a bunch of goose eggs after the first quarter. Now, the Kings played 4 10-minute quarters, just so you know, so it wasn't a full 48-minute game. But after the first quarter, Kyle Guy hadn't taken a shot, had 0 points, 0 steals, 0 assists. But in the second quarter, he really got going. He scored 7 of his 10 points in the second quarter. Like I said, finished with 10 points on the night, including 2 of 5 from three-point range. He hit a go-ahead three-pointer off of a curl screen fading away that was a pretty impressive shot from straight on. And that gave the Kings the lead late and really was what they were, gave them enough separation for them to be able to hold on to the win. So he had flashes of greatness, also finished with one assist, four turnovers. Why I'm pointing that out is because Vlade Divac said on his or in his post-draft press conference that he sees Kyle Bagai as of right now as more of an off-ball two guard that just catches and shoots, but he wants Kyle to work on his passing and his ability to run the point and run the offense. So Guy got certain stretches, struggled at times as a ball handler, but I thought should have had more than one assist, had a couple of great passes that just didn't result in assists. But I was pleased with what I saw out of Kyle Guy. Justin James, who is the Kings' 40th pick in the draft, or the 40th overall pick, finished with 7 points and a couple of steals. He was really at his best on the defensive end of the floor. Was impressed with what I saw there, but didn't get too much opportunity offensively to shine. And then it was cool to see Jimmer Fredette suit up and play for the Golden State Warriors. He finished with 14 points in that one. So the Kings get the win. Wenyen Gabriel was definitely the bright spot. It was good to see Kyle Guy ball out. I don't expect really any of these guys to make the roster. Let's put it this way. Maybe one of them will make the roster, and it's probably between Kyle Guy and Justin James. But I do enjoy seeing young players play hard, hustle, and try and make the most out of opportunities, which is what we got out of Wenyen Gabriel last night. So it was a good, solid win for the Kings, game one of the California Classic, and now they look to tonight as they take on the Miami Heat in game two. Kings and Miami Heat tonight inside the Golden One Center. Both teams 1-0 so far in the California Classic. Tip-off for that game is at 8 p.m. I hope you will make it out there. If you do, please let me know. Tweet me at MattGeorgeKHDK or email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. That's SACLocalMedia.com. I would love the opportunity to be able to chat with you and meet you and talk, whether it's before the game, during a timeout, halftime, after the game, whatever. I'll do as much as I can to be able to spend a couple of minutes and thank you in person for listening to the podcast and talk some Kings basketball with you. So do let me know if you will be heading out there and partaking in the festivities. Again, Kings and Heat tonight inside the Golden One Center, and the Kings wrap up the California Classic on Wednesday afternoon when they take on the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't have any information for you right now about Marvin Bagley and Frank Mason, if they're going to be playing, but be sure to follow my Twitter and just keep an eye on Kings Twitter in general to see if they will be ready to go tonight. Again, my hunch says Marvin Bagley is not playing. Frank Mason might be playing. I expect Frank Mason to play tonight, actually, just based off of his circumstance, his situation. If he only plays one game of the California Classic, I think that's not looking good for him in terms of maintaining his contract with the Sacramento Kings. But if you're coming out, let me know, please. Would love to see you and chat with you there at the G1C. I teased earlier that I wanted to talk about Kawhi Leonard really quick before we wrap up, and I wanted to get to this. I had this discussion with a number of people yesterday, as Kawhi Leonard is really the biggest name left in terms of NBA free agency. He met with the Clippers yesterday, has also met with the Los Angeles Lakers. We heard that the Lakers were the favorite to land him, which of course made a lot of Kings fans worried, frustrated, upset. Of course, there is the LA stigma and the fact that LA they attract free agents. The Lakers were god-awful last year, and they were absolute circus this offseason and in the month of April and May in terms of Magic Johnson quitting and leaving, all the issues with Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss. It was a circus and was a mess over there for the Los Angeles Lakers, but they're the Lakers brand, and they're always going to be able to turn things around. They made the Anthony Davis trade, and suddenly Vegas has them as the favorite to win the championship, and that's without Kawhi Leonard. And now we're hearing that the Lakers are the favorite right now to land Kawhi Leonard. We heard a report yesterday, although it was very minor, that Kawhi Leonard intended on informing the Los Angeles Clippers that he was not going to be signing with them. Also heard a report that he had dinner with the Los Angeles Clippers last night. We haven't heard anything coming out of that. Of course, he could still return to the Toronto Raptors, which is the best case scenario that Kings fans could hope for, him going back to the Eastern Conference, going back to Toronto and not having to worry about him here in the West. But the reality is, and I had this conversation with a number of people last night at the Golden One Center, is that if Kings fans had their choice between Kawhi joining the Lakers or Kawhi joining the Clippers in the Western Conference, you want Kawhi to join the Lakers. I understand, I deeply understand the desire to see Kawhi join the Clippers just to stick it to the Lakers a little bit. Haha, Kawhi chose the stepchild in LA over the juggernaut of the Lakers. But the Kings are looking to make their way into the playoffs by any means necessary. The Los Angeles Clippers were one of the 8 playoff teams last year, and the reality is the Kings are going to need a minimum of 2 teams that were in the playoffs last year to fall out if they want a chance to get in, because one team's not going to be enough. We all expect the Los Angeles Lakers, whether they get Kawhi Leonard or not, to vault themselves into the playoff picture. If talent is consolidated with the Los Angeles Lakers, sure, that makes them a juggernaut, maybe a favorite to win the West and win an NBA championship. But at least it's one team you have to worry about rather than two. If Kawhi joins the Clippers, who are also in the Pacific Division in the West, the Kings will have to play Kawhi and the Clippers 4 times, and Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Kyle Kuzma, and the Lakers 4 times. That's significantly worse than the Kings playing Kawhi, Davis, LeBron, and Kuzma with the Lakers 4 times, and then a Clippers team that, quite frankly, if they miss out on Kawhi, this offseason was an absolute failure for them. Remember, I was talking about, and many of us were talking about, the Clippers as being maybe the best destination for free agents this summer. And they missed out on Anthony Davis. They missed out on Kyrie. They missed out on KD. They missed out on Al Horford. They missed out on Jimmy Butler. And now, there's a very good chance that they could miss out on Kawhi Leonard. And that's what Kings fans should be rooting for. Let me know if you agree or disagree. You can reach me at any time on Twitter, at MattGeorgeKHDK. Also, email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. When you are driving to work or from work around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Kings, and we'll be right there for you with the entire drive. For the latest takes on NBA free agency, follow all of the Locked On Podcast Network hosts on one Twitter feed at Locked On NBA Net. It's at Locked On NBA Net. It's an awesome way to get all the latest opinions from the local experts during NBA free agency. Again, that's at Locked On NBA Net. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast today. We will be back for another podcast tomorrow, recapping everything that takes place at the Golden 1 Center and Day 2 of the California Classic tonight. Also, any more free agency news that breaks, we will discuss it tomorrow on Locked On Kings. Until then, have yourself a fantastic day, fantastic night. Hopefully, I'll see you at the Golden 1 Center tonight. Until next time, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.